The city of Eugene is moving ahead with plans for a temporary camp for homeless people. It could open as soon as next week. It will not be as big as some homeless advocates might have wished. And homeless advocates made it clear to the city council just last night that they still want to see more and greater efforts to help the homeless. But this first homeless camp, some people call it a rest stop, is on the way. Michael Wist is the grants manager for the city of Eugene and our guest here on the Jefferson Exchange. Michael, thanks for joining us.
Well, certainly. Thank you.
So catch us up, if you would, the people who don't know the backstory. Why is such an area needed or considered needed?
Well, we've had a large number of homeless establishments spread throughout the community for a long time. And there's been a strong community-based movement to help kind of gather these people and support their environment and to really establish more safe places for homeless people to be. It's also an understanding that Eugene, like many other cities, doesn't have the number of shelter beds to meet the needs of its homeless population.
Is there simply a greater proportion of homeless people to the general population? Is that why the shelter beds don't seem to be enough?
There's a number of different, I guess, issues related to that. I don't know if the proportion is much higher compared to some of your larger cities, but for a city of our size, about 170,000, we do have, you know, our annual counts are about 2,000 with over 10,000 people who at least receive services once throughout the year. So it is a large problem for a city of our size.
So what steps had to fall into place to make the rest stop pilot project click into place?
Well, it's been an ongoing dialogue. A lot of this started with the Occupy Eugene movement, and I think the first real camp came out of that. Council and a number of community activists, as well as our social service providers, had been meeting over the course of a year and a half, and council approved the original homeless camp, if you will, of Opportunity Village, which hosts about 45 people. And while that was underway and being developed, there was still a push to develop smaller rest stops, more focused on giving people a place to sleep, if only temporarily. And that's kind of what we're dealing with now. Though the logistics of having a place where people sleep and then have to pick up their belongings every day and leave became kind of a logistical challenge. So what the city council then went forward with is just instituting up to two more smaller camps.
And this first one will be at where, Roosevelt and Garfield?
Yeah, just northwest of that corner.
And who's that is city property then?
That is city property, yes.
And so was it surplus to the city? I mean, what used to go on there or what will go on there in the future?
Not exactly sure. It's just a fallow site. I don't exactly know the history of it. It's near our Roosevelt Public Works facility, and kind of there's storage facilities out there. It's just a fallow site.
Mm-hmm. And so how many people will be able to stay at this first rest stop?
Council approved two rest stops, both with a maximum of 15 people.
And again, and so this is a churn. I mean, basically, the different people there each night, or at least these people have to pick up and leave.
No, that was kind of struck in from the conversation, just because of the challenges of that. So we'll have up to two rest stop service providers, and we're kind of leaving up to them how they want to manage the camp. But from what I'm hearing, there won't be a turnover every night. People will be selected to stay in the camp, and we'll have to abide by the rules of the service providers.
The city seems to be taking something of an arm's length approach in that, in the sense that they're kind of outsourcing the management of the camps and making sure that those rules. So the city doesn't actually make the rules, is that right?
Well, we have an agreement. We make the city's making a basic number of rules, but really, I think you are correct in saying it's arm's length. You know, typically, that's how we would approach any number of services we provide funding for or partner for, that we manage a contract and stay minimally involved with the day-to-day activities of that. And this is just a similar approach.
And so no particular, they don't have to pick up and leave each day, but are there time limits to the amount of nights somebody can spend in one of these camps?
That would be up to the service providers, and that's not something that we're requiring on behalf of the city.
Mm-hmm. And so who are the service providers then?
Well, right now we only have an agreement with one, and that's Community Supported Shelters. They've done a lot of work in the community around developing micro-housing for homeless individuals, and they've developed what's known locally as the Conestoga Hut, which is a small 60-square-foot securable shelter.
This is Eric DeBrune's group?
Yes.
Got it. Okay. And so that's Community Supported Shelters, and they'll be managing this first one at Roosevelt and Garfield?
Yes.
And so what kinds of services will be provided there? I mean, what will people find other than a patch of land to pitch a tent?
Well, I think Eric's group is new. You know, community supported shelters is kind of new to managing a rest stop. And I think they're going to be figuring out along the way. But I know there's talk about keeping their residents engaged and looking for employment, as well as getting skills training to make themselves more employable, and just a more community-focused kind of atmosphere at the site.
I bet there'll be portable toilets and things like that?
Yes, there'll be portable restrooms and trash.
All right. And provided by community-supported shelters or by the City of Eugene? I mean, how much money does the city have to put into this?
The city, per agreement, will be putting no money into it. All facilities have to be paid for by the provider.
All right. So there's a public perception that once this first rest stop opens, and when is it? I mean, do we actually have a hard date for when it'll first be available to the public?
Yeah, community-supported shelters believes they can be up and running by December 20th.
All right. So basically a little more than a week or, well, 10 days anyway from now.
Right, yeah.
December 20th for that first opening. So, again, there's a public perception that once this opens, the so-called Whoville closes. First, for the folks who don't know Eugene, what is Whoville?
Whoville is one of the, I guess, unofficial, informal camps that has sprung up around town and has grown considerably in its time here. It's located just outside of downtown on Broadway and Hilliard. It's manifested itself several times at different locations throughout the summer, and now they've taken up a more, I guess, entrenched residence at Broadway and Hilliard. It's a camp of about 60 homeless individuals, as far as we can tell right now.
60 or so, I mean, are some of them staying there for great lengths of time?
Well, I would assume so. It's not a managed camp. So we don't have the numbers and details we have in community development are very sordid, not very helpful.
Right. So again, the public perception is that once the first rest stop opens, the one at Roosevelt and Garfield, that Whoville will close. Is there any information that gets to your department about that happening for sure?
Well, there isn't any set date or any push, as far as I know, to as soon as one opens to close the other. I think what you've seen with our police department in the past, especially with Occupy Eugene, that they don't set a hard deadline and they take a more gentle approach. They're actually trying to slowly transition people from one site to other sites, but I don't see it being a hard push.
We're talking about the rest stop being created in Eugene, actually one of two. The first one should open around December 20th or so, a place for 15 homeless people to spend the night. You can join our discussion on the Jefferson Exchange with Michael Wist, who is the grants manager for the City of Eugene. Phone numbers here, 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area. That includes Eugene Springfield. Our phone number for the Rogue Valley, folks, 541-552-6782, and our email address, jx@jeffnet.org. Did you get a chance to attend or hear much about the council meeting last night?
I knew what the format was going to be, but I decided not to go. We provided an update to council related to homeless activities throughout the community and some of the projects the city is working on and partnering with in advance of the council meeting to help update them prior to that.
All right. There was a bit of a push, according to the Register Guard anyway, for more services for the homeless in addition to these two camps. Is there any further progression outline? You know, if the first two camps are successful, may I try two more, anything like that?
The ordinance, as it's crafted currently, just allows for two more camps, both whose time will be up in March. So if anything, if that were to be revisited, it'd have to be through council.
All right. Let's take a call here. We have Justin in Arcata, California on the line. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Michael Wist. We're talking about homeless services in the City of Eugene.
Interesting topic. I just had a quick question, and I'll take my answer off the line. Since there's only a certain number of beds, and it seems like there's a lot more homeless people than you have beds, at least for the first facility, do you think that there will be some sort of competition or like increased violence within that community to compete for one of the beds?
All right. Interesting question. Thanks for that, Justin. Appreciate it. Michael?
Yeah, I mean, ideally not. A lot of that will be up to our service providers to develop a system that, I mean, I understand that's a valid concern, but typically you know, homeless populations are really savvy, and they know where to go. They don't always have a place, but they know the community well. So I think by not having a hard deadline for the closure of the one camp and then allowing our service providers to figure out how they best want to recruit others, and we have asked that the providers at the rest stops do recruit people from the Broadway and Hilliard Whoville camp, that hopefully we can have as smooth a transition as possible.
Does the city, within the guidelines it specifies, like saying 15 people at these camps, I mean, is there any wiggle room if it's a particularly chilly night and, you know, some people can double up and you get maybe 17 or 18 people in there? Does that immediately put the service provider in trouble with the city?
I don't think that the city will be, you know, stopping in on the coldest nights doing a head count. But also, the camps were located with the idea that there will be people showing up who just cannot get access for whatever reason. So we've co-located them near other homelessness services, and that was one of the main reasons for recommending these two sites out of a list of sites that we had worked out, partially due to the people who won't be able to get access to the rest stops.
All right, and so the first one, Roosevelt and Garfield, we didn't talk about the address. The other one is Chambers and Northwest Expressway, is that right?
Yes.
And any deadline or timeline set up for that one to open?
Well, originally, we don't have a timeline for that as of yet, but it's in our interest to get that open as quickly as possible. Now, originally, we're going to get the first one at Garfield up and running, and we're going to stick to that, but our timeline has shortened considerably. One of the considerations or issues with the Northwest Expressway site was that it was surrounded by county land, so we needed to work in agreement with the county so that people could legally cross the county land to get to city land and stay there, and we just got that approval this week. So we'll be able to move along a lot faster, getting some of the process out of the way for that site.
Siting in general must be a bit of a challenge because you're trying to do things, I imagine, like not keep things too close to residential areas, schools. I mean, there must be a number of considerations you're trying to make in designating places to put homeless camps.
Yeah, no, it hasn't been a quick process at all, and we've solicited a lot of feedback from the community. And also a lot of this, you know, combines so many different land use issues and outreach type of issues that when you package it all, it's kind of a new approach for anyone in the city.
The temperatures have certainly been low enough to open up the Egan Warming Centers for the better part of a week now, but are there any provisions or accommodations other than that for giving people places to go when the temperature reaches, in the case we've been talking about lately, actually below zero?
Well, the city of Eugene has sent out reminders yesterday that our community centers, as well as our libraries, are open throughout the day to serve as a safe place to be. Otherwise, you know, Egan exists as an emergency warming shelter for the reason that it opens in emergencies, because there is a lack of other resources. So outside of Egan, there's really no major expansion or formal expansion of any other services.
And you did mention Opportunity Village Eugene. Is that now up and running at last?
Yes. Yes, it's been running. Its grand opening was in October.
Okay. And so how does the operation, is there any particular acknowledgement or dovetailing of the operations between Opportunity Village Eugene and the rest stops?
Well, all the groups know each other well. They're all located within walking distance of each other as well. And recently, council has asked staff to explore if we should require insurance from the service providers. So I know there's been conversations with Opportunity Village, because they're an insured entity, to share each other's insurance for these rest stops. So they do actively work together, and they share a similar population.
Michael West, talk about the process here then, because I can imagine when there is pressure like was put on the city council last night to come up with more solutions. Council didn't make any particular promises, as I understand it, and apparently nothing else will be done other than a study session for the council the rest of this calendar year. But there must be some pressure back on staff to help find some solutions that they can present to the public then in return to some of the pressure they're feeling. So, I mean, how much of a – describe the racking of brains that must go on in departments like yours to try to come up with solutions that will make a greater number of people happy for a greater amount of time.
Yeah, that's interesting. Part of it is just being able to get the right people in the room together. Having done the Opportunity Eugene Task Force, which was a – just under 60-person task force that brought together community activists, local officials, governmental officials, and service providers. We have a history of getting people together to discuss these issues. And then on the city side of it, it's often a matter of getting together with police and the fire marshal and even land use planners to discuss siting and other safety considerations for these sites. So it's, as I said, it's kind of new for all of us, but it's not necessarily bad for the city as an organization either, because it forces us to cross through some of the silos that are just kind of naturally existing with the city, as well as reaching out to the community and leaning on our partners.
In a sense, have you had a chance to learn more about other city departments through this process?
I've had to meet a lot more people within the city.
No doubt. So what are the measures of success then? I mean, what will determine whether the rest stop, because it is considered a pilot project at this point, isn't it? So what will determine whether it continues past March?
That would be, we'd have to revisit that with our council. I think, I've talked with Eric of Community Support Shelters about it's really important how we define success and to give that some consideration going forward. And, you know, this is a new experience, so I think we're really open as to how we do define success. So I think that'll be an ongoing conversation.
All right. So the first, again, the first rest stop at Roosevelt and Garfield, likely to open around December 20th under the direction of community-supported shelters, and Eric, which is Eric DeBrun's group. And so no particular impediments. That looks like it's a go.
Yeah, it definitely is, yeah.
All right. Michael Wist is the grants manager for the City of Eugene and our guest here on the Jefferson Exchange. Michael, thanks so much for joining us to talk about the opening of Eugene's first homeless rest stop.
Great. Thank you, Jeff.
Good to have you. That'll do it for this first hour of the Jefferson Exchange. We will meet Jules Evans in hour number two, who talks about how to put ancient philosophy into play for dealing with modern problems. His book is Philosophy for Life and Other Dangerous Situations, coming up on the Jefferson Exchange in just a few minutes.